Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Someone asked me one time, when I was in Peru, I worked a great deal in the city of Lima, but also would make missionary trips up into the Andes Mountains and missionary trips into the jungles and spent a lot of time with a tribe called the Aguaruna tribe. Some of the Aguarunas had more contact with what we'd call a contemporary civilization, but many of them were very, very far removed. And a man asked me one time, how do you preach the gospel to an Aguaruna tribesman? And I said, I don't preach the gospel to an Aguaruna tribesman. I preach the gospel to a man.
This is Wretched Radio. That was, of course, Paul Washer, who could be preaching on alphabet soup and people would get convicted of their sins and repent and put their trust in Jesus. Encouraging you and me to not fall into the trap, man, of customizing the gospel for our culture. Want to find a correct balance here? We, of course, want to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. I want to be aware of what's going on in our world. I want to be aware of landmines. I don't want to unnecessarily step on something that's an explosive device that wrecks my ability to preach the gospel to somebody. But I want to make sure that I do not fall into the intersectionality trap where, okay, all right, I've got to share the gospel with somebody who's a Roman Catholic lesbian who once lived in China, whose great-great-grandfather was a slave trader who was left-handed. Now, how do I preach the gospel? Here's how you preach the gospel. You preach the gospel. That's it. It is the power of God unto salvation. Be aware of your civilization, but do not customize your gospel presentation. There is a big difference here. It is being aware of what is going on in our world. So, for instance, if there's a hot button issue, and let's use Donald Trump, shall we? Let's say I'm out on the campus and I'm witnessing to somebody, and they've got they're the 42nd of the 822 different genders that you can supposedly have these days, and they grew up in the suburbs, and they weigh 140 pounds, and they're studying economics, and they are in need of the gospel. I'm not going to think about any of those things per se. I'm going to be maybe aware of it. And when they bring up the subject of Donald Trump, I'm going to be mindful that, hey, he's a hot potato. Was then, is now. Do I need to engage in a conversation about Donald Trump? It's probably not wise in this context. Besides, that's not the battle I'm fighting. This is spiritual warfare. So I'm going to keep the dot. I'm going to just tiptoe away from that and get back to Jesus Christ. And when I then get to Jesus, that is when I never, ever, ever, ever want to alter the gospel. Ever. Ever. Well, don't you? What if somebody, they are Catholic? Doesn't that make a difference? No. Well, what if they're Jewish? No. They are 7 feet tall? No. They need to hear the law. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear repentance and faith. Now, you can hang all kinds of bangles and baubles on that. You can embellish it with the other benefits of the gospel. You can let them know that, hey, if you've been longing for family, it's provided by Jesus Christ when he adopts you, makes you a child of God, and then you have other family members. Fine. You can add another bauble that your thinking will get clear. You'll have a better understanding of how the world operates, not in a Gnostic way, but in the real way that the world, you're right now, your thinking is dimmed. It'll get really clear increasingly, and you're going to understand the world, and you're going to be able to filter what's happening around you. with a God understanding. All of those things are bennies. They're not the gospel. The gospel is God is holy. We're not. We deserve his wrath. We deserve his judgment. Jesus took it for us, rose from the dead. Repent and put your trust in him. And that doesn't change no matter to whom you're witnessing.
So I think I would have most, if not all, the leaders here behind me by saying, don't come in here with all that silly stuff. With all those strategies that are so mutable. This year we'll have a new missionary strategy. Next year there will be another one, and then another one, and then another one. And all of them are just a pitiful excuse for not obeying Scripture. And none of them have power. None of them. They're as weak as a dish rag.
I wish I could write metaphor. That'd be a simile. So like as I wish I could do things like that. Whatever it happens to be, Paul Washer preaching to a group of individuals. The context is really world missions, how we go overseas, but it's applicable to how we preach the gospel anywhere. Let's not be trendy. Let's not get confused about what gets people saved.
Now you write this down. If you don't remember anything else I've said, there never has been a great man of God except for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are only weak and pitiful men of a mighty God that find some sort of delight in choosing the runt of the litter. And in that runt's weakness, to make him strong.
That's the truth, isn't it? That is the truth. And that goes for Paul Washer, too. He sounds like, well, he's got it all together. No, he doesn't. He's weak. And he preaches a God who is strong. And let me tell you, if you have been perhaps a little bit frustrated with the fruit that you have been producing, then this is a good word for you. We runts, we preach the gospel. That's what we do. We runts do not have the ability to get people saved. We runts cannot make the gospel better than it currently is. We runts, we just deliver the message. That's it. And we let God do the work because it is his and his alone.
Never forget it. No matter what we do as preachers or missionaries or whatever else we are, no matter if we spill our blood as martyrs, know this. There's only one hero in this story. Mark it down. It's Jesus Christ. And every good, everything that's ever been accomplished in any of us, ever, any sound word ever spoken is the result of his life and wisdom flowing through us.
Have you forgotten that, perhaps? You are really sad that your kid hasn't repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Not your job. Mom, Dad, you just be faithful. You're a clay pot. You can't get them saved. Your job is to just be faithful. And might I suggest, Mom and Dad, that you keep your eye on helping your kid to just love Jesus more by loving him more yourself? That's a corrective I need, honestly. That is so easy to forget in parenting, isn't it? You got stuff to do. The kids got to behave. And when they're a nuisance, it becomes difficult. And you certainly don't want to be embarrassed at church. And we just want them to have good manners. We've got to lift it higher. We've got to do better than that. We've got to be pointing them, relentlessly pointing them to the hero of the story constantly. I'm kind of working on these thoughts. Going to be speaking at the Teach Them Diligently conferences, at least in Nashville and right outside of Austin, Texas. I don't think, maybe I have been to Austin. Is Austin the place where it's in the downtown? It's got that like that really cool river running through it. It's really artsy and hip. Is that Austin? Or am I thinking of a different town?
I'm not sure. Is that San Antonio?
Maybe it is. That could be San Antonio.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And to everybody in Texas, I repent for not knowing what I know you believe everybody should know.
Me too.
By the way, in Texas, wow, did they take a weather beating? Woofta. At any rate, I get to be there, and I'm just thinking about parents and their heartbreak as they go through the teenage years, and just the demand that I think is upon us to be preaching more to our kids through our lives of loving the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they actually love him. And when they reject the faith, they're not rejecting the parents' faith. They're rejecting Jesus. That's a good tip right there. Okay, that's tweetable right there. Your kids should not be rejecting your faith, because that's what we do, right? We tell them, hey, this is what we believe. This is what you should believe. Sometimes we give them reasons for it. Sometimes we don't. And so when they reject it, they're just rejecting your faith as opposed to rejecting Christ, because you've been relentlessly proclaiming Jesus Christ. Maybe that's an adjustment you need to make. I know that I do. And as we go about doing it, let us remember, it is not our job to save. It is not our job to alter. It is not our job to convert. It is just our job to be faithful. Because, quite honestly, we can't write a better story than God already has. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, hey, thank you so much for being here and joining us on Wretched Radio today. Unlike so many TV prophets out there, we can't say that persecution is inevitable, but what we can say is that it's a very real possibility. All you have to do is open your eyes a little bit. And thankfully, the Bible dedicates one entire book to the subject of persecution, and we have a 13-part series called Persecution on the book of 1 Peter. That instructs us how we should be living in these turbulent times. We want to send it to you, and it won't cost you anything. Persecution sets forth a biblical response to perhaps what's likely the most urgent question that any Christian is facing today. How do we live in a world that hates us? So how do you get your free copy, you might ask? Well, it's real simple. It's real easy. All you do is head on over to wretched.org/persecution. Wretched.org/persecution. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 Little Disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
What are some of the best combinations you can think of? Rice and beans? Bacon and eggs? How about spaghetti and meatballs? While those are certainly all delicious choices, there's one even better. You and Wretched. Yep, when you become a Wretched Gospel partner, you and Wretched become one of the best combinations in the world. Combining our efforts allows us to reach more people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Separately, they're pretty good, but combined together, they become great. That's what happens when you become a gospel partner with Wretched. Together, we can reach millions. And for you, there's full transparency and accountability because we're ECFA approved. Get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. You and Wretched, even better than salt and pepper.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry. We are here to help. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you didn't realize that you have bruises all over your body, soft spots, vulnerable areas, and you don't even know they exist. Don't you worry. Dr. Paul Washer is about to do a bit of an examination, put his finger on some of those bruises and press, and it might hurt a little bit, but it might also reveal some areas that could use a little bit of attention. Paul Washer, preaching, it looks like, a Grace Community Church. He is slugging. And hearing some of this, it might be a little bit painful, but isn't it worth going through a little bit of temporary pain for a eternal blessing?
Brothers, he's not just all that we need. He's the only thing we have. And if you think not that way, I have just identified the problem with your minister.
Oh, that wasn't just a little jab. That was just a shot to the side of the head. If you have been relying on methods, strategies, schemes, personality, giftings, finances, status, reach, you've been leaning on the wrong thing. If you have been especially leaning on yourself, whether it is ministry, parenting, business, anything, you need an adjustment. You need to remember, we are weak, we are clay pots, and he is strong. And he does great things despite us, not because of us. Do you perhaps need to be reminded of that? Don't worry, Paul Washer isn't done finding some tender spots.
Christ's church, Christ's way. You are a steward. Nothing less than a steward of the Most High God, and nothing more than a steward of the Most High God. And as a steward, it is not your prerogative to invent or scheme or design. Moses was not asked to design a temple. He was told, obey everything on the mountain that was given to you without deviation.
My impression of many people on the internet, would you like to, here's my impression, Jimmy. You'll have to imagine that I'm actually typing this.
Okay, I'm ready.
I guess he's talking about some guy named Stuart. Because the correct word is steward with a D, and he was hitting it with a T.
Christ's church, Christ's way. You are a steward.
Hey, was he talking about one of the old kings of England there?
Spot on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My impersonation of comments on the internet. That's our job. We're to be like Moses. Just obey. Just do it. Do it. Do what you're told. That's it. And if you don't think that that contains joy, then you got another bruise that needs to be poked. It's always the best way. Not our preference, God's way is always the best. And by the way, this has such practical application when it comes to battling sin, not just doing church, not just doing evangelism, not just training up your kids, battling sin. You're tempted to believe a lie. Doing this is going to feel good. It's going to make me happy. It's going to help me with an emotion. That's a lie if it's a sin. Do it God's way. It doesn't sound as fun. So here it is. Let me give you a demonstration of this. Sir, you're on your computer and you start thinking it might be kind of nice just to go watch one of them there dirty videos. Had a long week. My wife hasn't been very kind, kind of chilly in the bedroom. I think I'd enjoy that. And then let's just say that Paul Washer could jump onto your shoulder and go, hey, you're being lied to. Why don't you go listen to a sermon? And something inside of you goes, that doesn't sound as fun. That's not as interesting. That's not going to give me what I want. I promise you, do it and you'll be happier. Why? Because listening to a sermon is God's way. Watching porn is not. And it will always result in more joy, more happiness, and more benefits than what you are inclined to strive after for yourself. Try to remember that the next time you're in a battle for over sin. I want to yell at my wife right now. I really want to give that boy, man, if I could just give him the belt, I'd leave marks if it weren't illegal. Hold on. How's about doing it godly style instead? Doesn't feel as good in the moment. Doesn't release that that you've got inside of you. It's going to be better for you. Instead, love them. Humble yourself. Be godly in the situation, and you will be happier. Why? Because it's always better to do it God's way. That goes with our emotions, that goes with sins, and it goes with doing church, it goes with doing parenting, it goes with doing everything. How you doing? Are you enjoying this little examination from Paul Washer? All right, fine. Let's try this clip.
I use illustration that oftentimes I would go into red zones in different places in Peru where the terrorists were supposedly in control or the military was kind of dangerous or things were going on. And my wife would want to go with me and I would say, no, 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 no. You're not going. Why? They pull me off the bus, push me around, do all kinds of things with me. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. No big deal. One of those men lay a finger on my bride. It changes everything. That's my bride. That's my bride. So I would tell her, I don't want to get you in trouble and I don't want to get me killed. And if I, being evil, could love my wife so that I would fight men, what kind of passion does Christ have for his bride?
How much passion do we have for the church? May I ask? All right, COVID business aside, legalities aside for a moment. Maybe you're wrangling through that and there's room for differences of opinion about returning to church. So I'm not going to ask you, have you returned to church? Because there might be extenuating circumstances. I don't know. People, you've got other comorbidities, etc. You're in a hot zone, whatever it is. Your church hasn't, it has, whatever. Do you want to get back to church? Do you desire to be there? Are you longing to return to be with the body, which is Christ's church? To be with the people that God has purchased for himself? Have you lost the zeal to be with God's people? If that is true of you, what you need to do is repent. But my church, it's not very fill in the blank. I know. And I'm not trying to minimize that. I get that. And perhaps you have given yourself a little bit of permission now that the church has been, you've got a bit of a pink slip, don't you? Not a pink slip. A hallway pass is what you've got. Pink slip, you're fired. Hallway pass, you can get away with running around in the halls because you're going to get the projector. You still do that anymore in school? Do you get? Anybody have to get an overhead projector anymore?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, you know what was a big deal? You remember when I used, and I actually thought about this the other day because I do have that much free time. I used to love to be chosen to clean the blackboards. I think there was a couple of reasons for it. The primary one would be I don't have to actually concentrate, which was a challenge. For real, we've kind of picked up on that. So I love doing that. I also think it kind of made you feel like you were at the teacher's pet a little bit because the teacher picked you to have a responsibility nobody else got. That was a big deal. Today, you know what they did? They use their cell phones to clean the eraser. They probably don't even have chalkboards anymore. The point of this is, when I was your age, it was all harder than your particular age. Everything was more difficult. School was harder. Math was more difficult. We had to take physics, you know. Everything was harder back in the old days. Jesus loves his church. And if you have been using the COVID to start thinking about, well, you know, doing it online ain't so bad. Hold on. You've lost an understanding of what Jesus thinks about his local church. Just saw a clip of Odie Bauckham. Hope you're still praying for him. My understanding is he's at the Mayo Clinic in Florida. Keep up your prayers for Odie. And his family, and his ministry, and he's there dealing with his heart. I don't know that they've got the diagnosis for it yet, but I just saw him preaching. Maybe it was even at Grace Church where Paul Washer happens to be beating us up from right now. And he said, the best sermon you will hear all week is delivered by the man who has had his feet underneath your table. Your local pastor who knows you more than Paul Washer, Bodie Bauckham, John MacArthur, anybody. He knows you better. And he, guess what? He loves you more. He does. Your pastor loves you more than John MacArthur loves you or Paul Washer loves you. They just don't know you. Your pastor does. He's longing for you to come back. I don't know the COVID details, but if you can, and if you've been using COVID as a hall pass to not go, please remember how much Jesus loves his local church. You and I should have the same emotion. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. A scholar recently had his book removed from Amazon due to its critique of the transgender movement. Ryan Anderson, a former scholar at the Heritage Foundation, published his book titled When Harry Became Sally, Responding to the Transgender Moment. He published it in 2018, and in his book, Anderson seeks to understand the meaning of human embodiment and public policy considerations pertaining to transgender issues. Anderson is the new president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington and did not realize the world's largest retailer had removed his book until people trying to purchase it informed him that it was gone. The book, however, is not out of stock despite its disappearance. Webpages for copies of When Harry Became Sally have been removed, while Kindle and Audible versions have become inaccessible for purchase. In an email on Monday, Anderson recounted the past criticisms of his book, including critical editorials published in the New York Times and Washington Post. Anderson, whose book was published 3 years ago, argued that his work on critiquing the transgender movement will be silenced today, especially as the House of Representatives is set to vote on the Equality Act this week. On Monday, the Arkansas Senate passed SB 6, that's Senate Bill 6, that would ban abortions in the natural state and protect thousands of babies from being murdered. Senator Jason Rappert and Representative Mary Bentley are the key sponsors of the legislation that the state Senate approved 27-7. The Arkansas Unborn Child Protection Act will ban abortions unless it's to save a mother's life, and the bill now heads to the Republican-controlled state House, which is expected to approve it as well. A Christian leader in Sudan was detained and beaten last Friday for speaking out against the burning of a church building, according to sources. Masked men believed to be national security seized Osama Saeed Cody, chairman of the Christian Youth Union of Algiers State, on Friday morning, February 19th. They handcuffed him and blindfolded him. They then proceeded to beat and threaten to kill him if he continued voicing objections to the burning of a Sudanese church. They then released him a few hours later. Suspected a Muslim extremist, they set fire to the church building, the only worship hall in Tambul, which is used by various denominations in that rural area. It was set ablaze shortly before members left their Sunday service. At the same time, hardline Muslims last week urged government officials to ban TV programs with Christian content following the airing of a Christian program on the Sudan TV network, the Sudan National Broadcasting Corporation, earlier this month. The broadcast of Sunday Meeting, which is the only Christian program in Sudan, sparked widespread anger among radical Muslims. Discussing forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ attracted mixed reactions, including outrage among Muslim leaders on social media. Sudan is currently ranked 13th on the Open Doors 2020 World Watch list of the countries where it's most difficult to be a Christian. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It was the great theologian Peter Frampton who asked, do you feel like I do. This is Wretched Radio, letting Dr. Paul Washer do a little examination on us, really a heart check to see if there are issues that perhaps you and I need to do a little bit of adjusting. Preaching on the subject of missions at Grace Community Church, I suspect this was from a Shepherd's Conference when, you know, Shepherd's Conferences were legal. And he is addressing a group of people to remind them and us, do we care about the same things that Jesus cares about? Have we perhaps been distracted by other things? Or do we care about what Jesus cares about? And that is his people.
I find in the last year, so many people are... they're dividing themselves in races and colors and all sorts of things here in the body of Christ, here in the United States, failing to recognize there's only one race and it's a human race. But each one vying for his people, this people, that people. I need to talk about my people. I need restitution for my people. I need protection for my people. I need this and I need this for my people. I understand it. I understand it. I really do. Do you know why? Because I'm the same way. I'm the same way. All I think about is my people. It's all I think about is my people. And my people are in the United States of America. And they're in South America. And they're in Central America. And they're in Canada. And they're in every country of Africa. And they're in the Middle East. And they're in North Korea and South Korea. They're my people. And if you want to know what I care about, I care about Zion. I care about my people.
You ever wonder what it might have been like to live during the time of a prophet? No, I'm not suggesting Paul Washer holds the office of prophet. I'm just talking about a prophetic voice. No, I'm not describing somebody who tells the future. That aspect of the office, that office itself, if you will, is closed, unless, of course, you define a prophet as one who foretells, who proclaims boldly. I'm thinking about Elijah, the troubler of Israel. I'm thinking about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. What would it have been like to hear one of those guys? Probably a slightly different language, but I suspect it sounds an awful lot like Paul Washer, frankly.
I used to laugh in Peru. I said, tell my friends, I said, I'm Jesus junk. Whenever there's a group of people no one else wants to go to, it's like the Lord says, Washer, get over there. Go get my people. But not only that, go get your people. Go get your brothers. Go get your sisters. Those who have not yet heard, they're our people.
One more tragedy of CRT. Not only is it dividing into races, it's dividing the family. And it's so distracting, so taking our eyes off of what is important, that we are caring about lost souls. Ask yourself a question. Forget CRT, forget critical race theory for a moment. What are the things, while not insignificant, that we can spend our time doing, pursuing, trying to affect a change? But what are the things that perhaps you need to adjust based on your passions, based on the passions of God?
Someone came to me a while back. Some laws were being passed on the internet and all these different things, and they were worried about Christianity being hindered in America and all this stuff. And they said, Pastor Paul, you just don't seem interested. I said, because I'm not. I care less. They said, why? I said, because I got a sister that just got her arm cut off by a mass of Hindus that attacked her husband. Because I got brothers and sisters in South Korea that are being beaten and being raped. Because there are people in the Middle East who have not heard. What do I care? What do we care about the bed we lay in? What do we care about the pain in our bodies? The disintegration of our strength? What do we care? It'll all be gone soon. We must go.
In India, there's a new law, or at least an emboldened law, forced conversion, that you can't you can't convert somebody to your faith. Otherwise, you go to jail or worse. India, 23 forced conversion cases filed in 23 days after new anti-conversion law. When Paul Washer said he's got a sister whose arm was just chopped off, did you go, oh, no, that's terrible. Sally Washer got her arm cut off. That's terrible. He wasn't talking about Sally Washer. He's talking about a sister in Christ. 23, if these people are Christians, Orthodox, small O Orthodox Christians, our sisters in India right now are taking a beating because there is a big push to make Hinduism great again. Then our Christian brothers and sisters are feeling it, our sisters and our brothers. 565,000 displaced, 2,500 killed amid rise of Islamic extremism, which I just call Islam, in Mozambique since 2017. That's 565,000 of your brothers and sisters that got kicked out of their home. Are you worried about your home? Are you worried about your goods, your chattel, the stuff that you own? Hey, what happens if? What if the Democrats do this? What if the people in power do that? Could we actually get kicked out of our home? 565,000 in one country in the last three point some years. It actually happened. And maybe, just maybe, we can have the ability, because we love ourselves so much, to go, well, first of all, it's not me. Second of all, they don't have a lot of stuff anyway. I have a lot of stuff. I have worked very hard for this stuff. I assure you, they worked hard for their stuff too. And it's gone. You have got millions of brothers and sisters who are living a nomadic life right now, or who are in jails right now, or labor camps right now. Now, is this to not care about anything else? Nope, that would be a bit imbalanced. But what about balance? What about our balance? What about our cares and concerns for the body of Christ? That we are worried about what is going on with our brothers and sisters. What about the local church? What about my neighbors? Paul Washer challenging us to consider our balance.
Brethren, I love Muslims. I love them. I pray for them. But they're not my cousins. They're not my next of kin. Their faith is not related to mine. Their faith is not some stepping stone God gave them to reach the faith I preach. It's not. And if I love these people, Muslim, Buddhist, every sort of people on the planet, if I love them, I'm going to preach to them a very defined doctrine, a very defined redemption, a very defined God.
And just to encourage you as we're getting scolded, that I think Jesus' sheep are always going to hear his voice. And you're not going to somehow make a goat here. But nevertheless, there are people right now that are longing for it. I'm in my mind right now, I'm seeing an image of a young man that John Favara's Road Trip to Truth Season 2. You're not familiar with Season 1? Go check it out. Wretched.org/roadtrip. Amazing. 13 episodes, reaching the kids on the campuses. This is Season 2. He has a cross earring. And John is asking him what the gospel is. And the young man, typical, I'm not making it up. Well, I usually, you know, tell him that's the Bible. That's what the gospel is, because it's got Matthew, Mark, and stuff. Wearing a cross earring. And John asked him, do you know anybody who claims to be a Christian, but who might not be? And you know what he said? Me. I go to bed every night, and I ask God to forgive me, because I just can't seem to stop doing the things I know that I'm not supposed to be doing. And I can't go to bed without thinking about it. So often we think, oh, I've got to give him the exclusive news of Jesus Christ, and this could turn into a fight. This kid was longing to hear John respond by saying, you don't understand. You can sleep at night because Jesus Christ paid fully for your sins. You don't get yourself cleaned up and then come to him. You don't get yourself cleaned up to be acceptable to him. You can't do it, but he did it, and he offers it to you right now. If you'll hear his voice, and his sheep always do, then run to your good shepherd right now. This kid was so grateful. I don't know if you perhaps been a little gun-shy about preaching the gospel. Maybe, just maybe, being reminded that Jesus' sheep hear his voice, and all we need to do is proclaim it. Don't water it down. Don't apologize for it. Don't kick the theological can down the street. Proclaim the good news of the gospel, because his sheep love to hear his voice. This is Wretched Radio. Not to offend people who love math, I'm not one of them, but these are numbers that should not be boring. $500 is what the average family saves with MediShare every month, not per year, every month. Right now, before the end of February, you will also save $170 off of your enrollment fee. Here's another number, 400,000 members. Another number, 25 years, MediShare has been providing affordable biblical health sharing, telehealth, huge network of doctors, and fellow believers who help one another to share their health care burdens and even gasp, pray for one another. Our final set of numbers, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE, to learn more about MediShare.
Improving your marriage, becoming a better parent, diving deeper into the truths of Scripture, learning how to see Jesus in the Old Testament, and discovering your emotions from a biblical perspective. These are areas where we all want to grow. The problem is, most studies on these topics are usually boring and irrelevant. But all of that has now changed. Seriously, it has, with Wretched's brand new Bible study curriculums derived from our resources Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. You'll be able to dive deeper and actually enjoy doing so, which almost seems like a paradox these days. Until now, that is. Wretched's new curriculums. They're a terrific deal and a great way to start 2021. These are perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, or your own personal study at home. Find all the Wretched curriculum in one convenient location by visiting wretched.org/study. It's that simple. Wretched.org/study.
59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, but the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe, and that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who needs a chiropractor when you've got Paul Washer? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps an adjustment is needed, not in your behavior per se, not in what you're doing, but in how you're thinking about Jesus these days. Is it possible you need an adjustment? Can we get consumed by what's going on around us? The physical distracts. We see it. We're doing it. We smell it. We utilize it. It's tactile. And we get consumed by it, but we have perhaps taken our eyes off of what is what is the goal that Jesus has for his bride and for his people, for the local church, for the universal church, for the church triumphant? Is it possible that you and I need an adjustment in how we are thinking about Jesus? Because when we fail to do that, we'll get off track so fast. If we are not in alignment with Jesus' thinking, with knowing who he is, and being amazed at his grace over and over and over again, we are going to make so many bad decisions. So many worldly methods will get employed. We will get so busy with doing stuff, we will inevitably make a wrong decision. I would like to demonstrate that courtesy of our chiropractor, Paul Washer. Preaching on the subject of missions, let's, however, bring this home a little bit closer.
You say, I'm the runt of the litter. Yes, exactly. Good. Now we can do something with you.
Boom. Start right there. If you're of the mindset, I'm going to use my skills because then I can get stuff done. Uh-oh. Wrong starting place.
Not many noble, not many wise. But those who in their weakness cling to the word of God and proclaim it. You say, Brother Paul, I have no wisdom. Then only speak God's word and you'll have all the wisdom in the world. You say, I have no strength. Then constantly ask for greater and greater manifestations of the Spirit's life and power. Not to do some silly thing like a TV evangelist, but to walk in holiness and proclaim the gospel with clarity.
Do you need an adjustment today? Do you need to remember who's in charge, who accomplishes everything, who's really responsible for you being able to walk, let alone talk, let alone accomplish anything?
Brethren, you don't plant a church in order to plant another church.
Get ready for an adjustment, I'm telling you.
Because if you do that, if you've ever done church life, you're going to find that your church is going to fill up with a lot of broken, weak people who are genuinely converted, but they cannot contribute much to your vision. And if your vision is to use a church to plant a church, pretty soon you're going to be despising all the ones who most need your ministry. You plant a church here in the States. You plant a church on the mission field because you love those souls.
Oh, how quickly we get distracted. Okay, so if we plant this church, then the next community, I understand there's a new housing development going up and there's like an apartment and there's a corporation, Boeing is coming in, and then we're going to, oops. We build churches so that God's people could be ministered to, not so we can grow another church or have another presumably thriving community. That's focusing on growth and not focusing on Jesus' sheep.
I hear men all the time telling me they love the church. And I ask them this question. I said, do you love the church or do you love your ministry in the church?
Oh.
Because you love the church as much as you love the most difficult saint in your church.
Oh.
Brethren, if you will devote yourself to caring for souls, to winning souls, caring for souls, loving people, and being content with God's smile, God will mightily use you, and other churches will be birthed from that.
Let me move this away from the pastor or elders or the vision board to your home. What are you doing with your kids? Are you raising them up for what end? What does Jesus want you to instill in your kids? Now, be careful. Yeah, you teach them manners. Yeah, you teach them how to sit up straight. Yeah, you teach them how to study, all those things. But ultimately, it's to love him. What is your goal for your children? If it has been to simply present well-behaved kids to the community, or to perhaps produce a really good contributing member of society, or to have somebody who can be an upstanding member of the church, all of those goals are ultimately wrong. Those things are not insignificant. But is your parenting directed toward loving your kids, knowing that they're really sinners? They're not naughty, they're sinful. There's a vast difference. Christian, You no longer have naughty children. You have totally depraved, wicked sinners. That's what you have. That's what you have given birth to. And they need to love Jesus more so that he can be glorified and they can ultimately be happy. Do you possibly need an adjustment to that end? Not yet.
Someone asked a theological, philosophical question one time. Why would God plant the most beautiful rose he ever made in a forest where no man ever walked? How would that rose glorify God or bring glory to God? It brings glory to God because even though no man sees it, God sees it.
Yep.
You're looking for his smile, his approbation, his approval. You're looking for him.
Stay-at-home mom. Tired today? Have you perhaps heard that the world doesn't think that what you're doing is very important? Have you perhaps been given the impression from watching television that women who wear shoes that are red on the bottom, they're accomplished? That they're the ones who really are successful. They have the world's smile. And do you know the record book that the world keeps for people that it affirms? No, you don't, because it doesn't have one. But God does. And he is the one for whom we should be living and doing and witnessing and training and discipling and building. All of it, all of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. For his smile, for his benevolent gaze, knowing that even when nobody is watching you clean up a diarrhea that exploded through the diaper, and you're doing it because you love the Lord and you want that little image bearer that he has given to you to love him, that's recorded for eternity. That is recorded for eternity. You are going to see in God's book of things that have pleased him throughout the ages a lot of exploded diapers cleaned up by moms because they aren't looking for the world's praise. They aren't looking for any sort of commendation. They don't even tell their husband unless perhaps it was kind of a funny story. You wouldn't believe it. It hit the wall. That's not why you do it. You do it because you love Jesus. You need that adjustment today. Dad, why are you going to work? Well, somebody's gotta. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Besides, I hate my job. You need an adjustment. Are you doing it for Jesus? Then it is a great job. It is an eternal job. Do you realize how many lousy jobs will have been recorded in God's book for eternity? The things that will be remembered forever. Everything that is done for the Lord has an eternal value to it. Everything. So whatever your job is that you perceive as crummy, whatever it is, if you're doing it for the Lord, he's well pleased with that. Pastor, why are you still pastoring? Why are you doing it? You've been speedbagged from day one, haven't you? And maybe you are weary. Maybe you have not experienced the growth that you had envisioned. Maybe you need an adjustment too. Maybe you need to remember that King Jesus left his throne being praised by angels and myriads of people that he'd already saved to come to this earth. And to not have a very apparently successful ministry. you can't say that the ministry of Jesus Christ, if we used contemporary seeker-sensitive standards for church growth models, he was a failure. And yet his father was well pleased with him because he humbled himself and he went about his father's business. If you need an adjustment, don't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Remember what your Savior did for you and what was important to him and what he accomplished by dying while we were yet sinning. And then you will wake up adjusted, loving the things that he loves, passionate about the things that he is passionate about, and doing the things that bring him great glory even when the world doesn't know it. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.